This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Thank all of you for coming. The topic tonight that was ultimately chosen was the halachas of Yom Tov. We'll be focusing on the differences between Yom Tov and Shabbos. Otherwise, the halachas of Yom Tov turns into the halachas of Shabbos. So we'll focus on the differences, that which is permitted on Yom Tov, which is not permitted on Shabbos. I thank Mrs. Silverstein, the entire sisterhood, for putting this together, for putting up with my indecisiveness in terms of topics. I'm still not 100% sure, but I think we'll go with it. So, if anyone has any ideas for future topics, we're always looking for suggestions. So the Torah tells us in Parshas Bo, as well as in other parshiyos, that there is an iser of melacha on Yom Tov, just like on Shabbos. Loisasa chol melacha applies both on Yom Tov and on Shabbos. However, the Torah comes and says that it's different. The iser melacha on Yom Tov is quite different than the iser melacha on Shabbos. And the clear difference that the Torah tells us is the fact that we know that on Yom Tov there is a heter for what we refer to as oichol nefesh, sorech oichol nefesh. However, the tzorech ochol nefesh, which is permitted, that which is allowed literally for food, we permit the doing of malacha for food, is merely just an outcome, it's a nafkamina, it's indicative of a more basic difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. And understanding that difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov and the parameters of all the rules, so then every shiloh will fall into place. We won't have to discuss the details of the shilohs in particular, because we'll know the rules, we'll know the parameters that Chazal set up. So the Torah comes and tells us that Ochol Nefesh is mutter. Why is Ochol Nefesh mutter? So you can never know for sure. It's a Gzeres HaKasav. The Torah tells us it's mutter. We know it's mutter. But the Mefarshim point out that what the Torah is telling us is something much deeper. The Isser of Melacha on Shabbos is similar to the Isser Melacha of Yom Tov. But on the Isser Melacha of Shabbos, there are two reasons, there are two things that the Isser Melacha is coming to accomplish. We know that the Isser Melacha is there because Shisha Yomim, Rabbanu Shalom did Melacha for 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. Now, every Melacha of the 39 Melachas is a Melacha which was taken from the Mishkan, taken from one of the aspects of Binyan HaMishkan, which corresponds, Chazal tell us, to an aspect of Briyas HaOlam. So our refraining from Melacha on Shabbos is Zecher L'Maisa Bereshis. It's our commemorating the fact that the Rabbanu Shalom rested from Melacha, and the physical description, the physical manifestation of those Melachas that he refrained from is us refraining from the 39 Melachas. So each Melacha is connected to something else. So we can't do any of the 39 Melachas, because on some level that corresponds to something that was in the Mishkan, which in some level corresponds to a way that there is something that the Rabbanu Shalom did in Briyas HaOlam. And us refraining from that is refraining from Briyas HaOlam, which is what the Rabbanu Shalom did on the seventh day. That's one aspect of the Isser Melacha of Shabbos. Zecher L'Maisa Bereshis. There's a secondary aspect of the Isser Melacha on Yom Tov, and that is not Zecher L'Maisa Bereshis necessarily, but the fact that on Shabbos we're supposed to be preoccupied with Avodas Hashem. Shabbos is a day, Lehis Aneg El Hashem, to spend with the Rabbanu Shalom. If a person goes into the office like every other day, if the person is Osek in Melacha the same way he is every other day, so then we can't accomplish that which we have to accomplish on Shabbos. So there are two reasons why Melacha is Asar on Shabbos. First of all, Zeichel Maisa Bereshis. Secondly, to allow us, afford us the opportunity to be Osek in Melacha Shemayim and things in our relationship with the Rabbanu Shalom. When it comes to Yom Tov, however, Yom Tov is not Zeichel Maisa Bereshis. Yom Tov has nothing to do with Maisa Bereshis. We do say in Kiddush Zeichel Maisa. We Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim as well when it comes to Shabbos. But Zeichel Maisa Bereshis is only by Shabbos. Yom Tov is always Zeichel, just Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. So since by Yom Tov it's not Zeichel Maisa Bereshis, so the aspect of Melecha Shabbos, which is Zeichel Maisa Bereshis, falls away, and that creates many different nafkaminas lahalacha. For instance, just a one which isn't relevant so often, but just to illustrate the point, when it comes to Shabbos, we're much more stringent when it comes to a melacha being done by a nachri. Amir l'nachri is aser on Shabbos. Amir l'nachri is aser on Yom Tov as well. One can't ask a non-Jew to do anything which he's not able to do. But we're more makel when it comes to Yom Tov in certain scenarios. Well, why are we more makel? So the Meshech Chachma, Meir Simcha, explains, because Shabbos is Zeichel L'maisa Bereshis. Zeichel L'maisa Bereshis inherently applies to Jew and non-Jew alike. Both of us, Jews and non-Jews, have to remember that there's a burial, and the Rebbe Hashem created the world with Jews, and he created the world with non-Jews. Yes, the Torah only commanded Jews for whatever reason in Shmirah Shabbos, but since it's Zeichel L'maisa Bereshis, any act done by Jew or non-Jew is to some degree a violation of Shabbos. They don't have to be nervous about it, but to some degree the world is supposed to be resting from Malacha, and even when a non-Jew does something, the world is not resting from Malacha, and therefore when it comes to Amir L'Nach, we are very machmir on Shabbos. When it comes to Yom Tov, there's no Zeichel Maisa Bereshis, it's Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's very, very that's only related to the relationship between the Rebbe Hashem and the Jews. Yom Tov has nothing to do with the non-Jews, and therefore will be more makel when it comes to Amir L'Nach. There's still an Isser, perhaps we'll discuss in a few moments when we will be makel. But if the Isser in general of Amir Nachri is more makel, because again, Shabbos is Zeicher Maisa Bereshis, Yom Tov is strictly Zeicher Liyetzias Mitzrayim. But because those differences exist, because the Isser Melacha of Shabbos is inherently different than the Isser Melacha of Yom Tov, so it's true that the 39 Melachos which are Aser on Shabbos are the same 39 Melachos which are Aser on Yom Tov, but the reason that they're Aser is different. The reason they're Aser on Shabbos is because those acts correspond to divine acts that the Rebbe Hashem did in creating the world, Zeichel Maisa Bereshis. And therefore every act on its own is prohibited on its own right because it corresponds to a divine creative act. When it comes to Yom Tov, that's not the case. There's no Zeichel Maisa Bereshis. When it comes to Yom Tov, the reason, the sole reason that Malacha is Aser on Yom Tov is to give us time to focus on what we were supposed to be focusing on. So therefore, when it comes to, you could argue, and this in fact is the halacha, when it comes to Shabbos, there are 39 separate Isurim, each one corresponding to a different act, divine act. So Zoreya is different than Kaitzer, and Kaitzer is different than Lash, and Lash is different than Amr. 39 separate Isurim in the Torah. One is not like the other, because each one corresponds to something else. When it comes to Yom Tov, there's one Isur called don't do work. How do I define work? So it's those 39 malachas. But the same reason that Kotzer is Aser is the same reason that Zerei is Aser. It's all one thing. Do not do work. Now why do I stress this? What difference does it make on a practical level that one is Zeichel L'maisa Bereshis and one is Zeichel L'tzias Mitzrayim? Because if something is Aser Zeichel L'maisa Bereshis, there's not going to be any dispensation. There's not going to be any heter. It corresponds to a divine act of creativity. We have to remember that the Rabbanu Shalom refrained from such activity, and therefore we can't do it. And therefore, there will be no exceptions to that. I can't do it because this is to remember that God didn't do this type of act. When it comes to Yom Tov, since the entire nature of the Isur Melacha on Yom Tov is to give us time to focus on that which we should be focused on, so then the Isur Melacha should really only be relevant to things which will distract us from that which we will focus on. And therefore comes the Torah and says, Ochel Nefesh is Mutter. Why is Ochel Nefesh Mutter on Yom Tov and not on Shabbos? It's a very simple question. Why are we allowed to cook on Yom Tov and we're not allowed to cook on Shabbos? The answer is because the nature of the Isur Melacha is entirely different. What the Rebbeinu Shalom wanted us to do by refraining from Melacha on Yom Tov is merely have time to be focused on our spirituality, on focus on Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. And therefore, he said, don't go to work and don't be involved in your agriculture, kaitzer, zareya, all the things. But anything which has to do, which will enhance my Yom Tov. Anything, again, on a global level, we'll discuss the details, but on a global level, anything which is done not as a malacha, but part of my day-to-day routine, just regular living, so that is not usher. Comes the Torah and says, Ochel Nefesh is mutter, because Ochel Nefesh doesn't distract you. On the contrary, Ochel Nefesh includes all things, allows me to do things with normal living, and therefore it will enhance my Yom Tov rather than take away from my Yom Tov. So therefore the Torah came and said, Ochel Nefesh is going to be mutter on Yom Tov, because again, it enhances my ability to relate to the Yom Tov, to focus on my relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, as opposed to take away from it. So we have to define what this is, Ochel Nefesh. If the Torah gives us this dispensation, Ochel Nefesh, how do we define Ochel Nefesh? So there is a machlekes in the Mishnah. The Mishnah has a machlekes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Whether a person is warming up some water to wash himself with, does that water actually have to be ra'oi la'achila, ra'oi l'shtiyah? Beis Shammai says, yes, indeed it does. Beis Hillel says, absolutely not. What's the debate? It seems that the debate is, when we say Ochel Nefesh, when the Torah says Ochel Nefesh, what does the Torah mean by Ochel Nefesh? Does the Torah mean literally has to be something which is there to be eaten? That sheet is Beis Shammai. The Torah is giving a dispensation to eat and to drink, nothing else. Beis Hillel says, no, Ochel Nefesh is a general term. It means things which are done lehana'as haguf. Things which are done lehana'as haguf, if it's for the hana'as haguf, my body, again, it can't be anything I want to do, but it's something which, again, is for the regular way I take care of my body. So then, regular way I function. So then, why would the Torah ask for such a thing? That's not going to distract me from my avoda on Yom Tov. That's just part of regular functioning. And therefore, the category of Ochel Nefesh doesn't simply apply to foods alone. Rather, it applies to anything which is hanaz haguf. So that will apply to eating, drinking. Person wants to light a fire to be warm, we'll discuss. Person perhaps wants to wash his hands and face. Different things, anything which is hanaz haguf will apply, will be under the category of Ochel Nefesh. So we have to understand what the gedder of Ochel Nefesh is. We just said that we paskin, that the gedder of Ochel Nefesh starts with anything which is hanaz haguf. Comes the Gemara and says that there's another principle. Not only things which are hanaz haguf per se, but mitoich shehutra litzoyre, hutosh nami shaloy litzoyre. The Gemara says, how can we have one malacha? It's the very same malacha that sometimes, depending if it's for hanaz haguf, it's going to be permitted. And if it's not for hanaz haguf, it's not going to permit it. Says the Gemara of Svara, that mitoich shehutra litzoyre, hutra nami shaloy litzoyre. Since it's mutter to do litzoyre ochel nefesh, we're going to permit it in certain scenarios, even shalo litzar. So the heter starts with Ochel Nefesh, which applies merely to hanaz haguf. Comes the Gemara and extends it to any tzarech. But it has to be a tzarech. That which we allow Ochel Nefesh on Yom Tov, whether it be because it's Ochel Nefesh proper, or whether it be because we're allowing it because mitoch shehutra litzarech, hutra nami shalo litzarech, when you say lo litzarech, it doesn't mean you're allowed to do whatever you want. It has to be a certain tzarech. It just doesn't have to be a tzarech of hanaz haguf. Am I allowed to carry outside of an Erev on Yom Tov? So people say, yeah, there's no Isra of Haitzah on Yom Tov. It's not true. Of course there's an Isra of Haitzah on Yom Tov. But Ochel Nefesh, I'm allowed to carry my food to my neighbor. In fact, Meir Simcha writes, the Meshech Chochma writes, that Yom Tov and Shabbos, as we pointed out, are extremely different from one another. They seem similar, but they're very different. In fact, he says, Shabbos, we're there supposed to be working on our relationship strictly with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's there to work, and every Jew focuses on his personal relationship to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yom Tov, person's supposed to be focused on his connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam, but not just the Ribbono Shel Olam, to all Jews. Therefore, he says, one of the yesodas, one of the definitional aspects of Yom Tov is that you could eat together with other people. So of course you could carry, you want to eat together with your neighbor to enhance that camaraderie, you could carry your food, that's really Ochel Nefesh. But let's say I want to carry something which is not hanaz haguf. So what do we say? So I want to carry something else. Now I can't just carry anything I want. I can't go outside with my keys in my pocket just for no reason at all. That's shaloi l'tzorech klal. Anytime a person is doing a malacha on Yom Tif, no matter what the malacha is, the first question a person has to ask themselves, there's no such thing as malacha doesn't apply on Yom Tif. The first question a person has to ask himself is there a tzorech? If there is a tzorech, is it like tzorech hayayim? Tzorech tomorrow doesn't work. Doesn't matter that you need it for tomorrow. You has to be with tzorech Yom Tif. Again, remember, if we remember the rules, the applications are very easy. The entire reason the Torah gave us this dispensation is to enhance our Yom Tif. Therefore, we're allowed to use the dispensation to enhance our Yom Tif. We're not allowed to use our dispensation to enhance Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, or whatever the next day is. In fact, we know that when it comes to Yom Tif, we have 2 days of Yom Tif in Galus, right? Each day we keep as a suffix to remember that in the days of yore, they kept each day as a suffix. It was a sveika de yoima. There wasn't 2 days of Yom Tif. They didn't know what their Rosh Chodesh was. So therefore we keep it as a suffix. But only one day in actuality was really Yom Tif. So if only one day was really Yom Tif, that means the other day was Chol. It was a weekday. We didn't know which one. So therefore it's a prohibited to do malacha on one day of Yom Tif for the next day of Yom Tif, because that could be a weekday. It has to be for that day. It doesn't have to be ochel nefesh mamish hanas haguf, because we have the concept of mitoch, but it has to be for a tzorech. So yes, perhaps I could carry my siddur to shul, my machzer to shul. That's a tzorech. If there's no erev, I'm doing a malacha, but I'm doing a malacha l'tzorech. But I can't carry it back home. Why can I carry it back home? That's not a tzorech at all. So the concept of malacha is mutter, but it has to be a tzorech, and it has to be a tzorech ha-yom. When we say that something is mutter for ochel nefesh purposes, so we said it has to be hanas hagof, with the rule of mitoich, it could be any tzorech, comes the Gemara and says, so any tzorech whatsoever, I like to go to the spa every day. My every day is spend the same thing. This is my hanas hagof. So I don't know what malachas they do in a spa, but I imagine there are some malachas involved. So am I allowed to go to a spa on Yom Tif? It's ochel nefesh, it's hanas hagof. Says the Gemara, no. You can't do such a thing. Why? Because when we say ochel nefesh, again, remember, the reason is because we want you to be able to function normally. Just because you, on a regular day, function above normal, doesn't mean that you can do malacha to function above normal. You're allowed to do malacha, which allows you to function normally. So it doesn't matter what you want to do and what you like to do. What matters is something which is davar hashavah l'chol nefesh. It has to be something which you take a poll of the general population, and this is something which is done. So I want to do a malacha on Yom Tif. First question I have to ask myself is it litzarech Yom Tif? If it's litzarech Yom Tif, is it litzarech my Yom Tif? But most people look at me like I'm crazy. Or no, this is a basic necessity, a basic need, and therefore I'm allowed to do it. So we have these heterim of oichel nefesh. And we have to understand whether it applies to all malachas or just to some malachas. Is a person allowed to, a person that doesn't have a place to live, he's allowed to build a house on Yom Tif? Tzarech hanas hagof. A person's allowed to do any malacha he wants on Yom Tif. If it's a tzarech ochel nefesh, a person's allowed to do whatever he wants. Which malachas do we say a person's allowed to do? Which malachas do we say a person's not allowed to do? Again, just the basic building blocks of malachas of Hilchos Yom Tif. How do I figure out which malachas are permitted and which malachas are prohibited? Kaitza, I want to go into my field and start harvesting. I'm allowed to do that on Yom Tif. I'm going to eat some of it. I'm allowed to do that on Yom Tif. Dosh, all the malachas, 39 malachas on Shabbos, they're all mutter on Yom Tif as long as I'm doing it litzerech hayoy. So the Rishonim come and say, absolutely not. We have to put the brakes on this heter called oichel nefesh. The first thing I have to decide is, where is this limitation? It was clear to the Chazal that the Torah doesn't let you do all 39 malachas, even if it is ochel nefesh. The question to Chazal merely was, the Rishonim grapple with is, how am I magdir? How do I decide which malachas are in and which malachas are out? And this, we come to a machlekes, a very, very important machlekes, debate between the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say, how do I decide which malachas are in and which malachas are out? What malacha I'm allowed to do on Yom Tif with Tzorech Yomtif and what malachas, even if it's the tzarech yomtif, I'm not allowed to do. Come the Rishonim and say, very simple, could I have done it yesterday? If I could have done it yesterday, and there would be nothing lost if I had done it yesterday, and the reason I didn't do it yesterday is simply because, why should I do what I could do yesterday if I could do it today? I could do it on yomtif itself. So that type of malacha is not permitted. So that according to these Rishonim, a person always has to ask themselves the following question. I'm about to do malacha on Yom Tif. It would be awesome for me to do this on Shabbos. Why am I doing it now? Because it's Yom Tif. Is it Litzarech HaYoyim? Yes. Could I have done it yesterday? The answer is yes, so then you're not allowed to do it. The answer is no, so then you can continue to do it. That's rule number one. That's according to some Rishonim. The other Rishonim come and say, no. You know which malachas they permitted you to do? They permitted you to do malachas which are generally done in the kitchen. Malachas which are generally done on a time-to-time basis. I don't do these malachas so far in advance. I don't do them en masse. I do them as I need it. I cut vegetables as I need them for a salad. When I harvest, I don't go out every time I need to make a salad, I pick some peppers. No, we harvest en masse. We do it with the Rishonim say, liyomim. So since it's done en masse, again, the point of the Torah is to allow me to function normally to enjoy my yomtiv. The point of the Torah giving us the heder v'chol nefesh is not to allow us to go to work in our fields. So if this is something which is normally done en masse, normally done and with a tremendous process, done for many months at a time, I'm going to harvest my entire field, like harvesting is, so then they're not going to permit it on Yom Tov. That's not even going to enhance my Yom Tov. That's just going to let me work on Yom Tov. If it's something which is generally done, timed, every time I want a salad, I cut it up. Every time I want to cook, I cook separately. I don't cook for months in advance. So those malachas are what's permitted. So we have to ask ourselves the following question, because of course, we are machmer like both shittas. So that means that a person wants to do malacha on Yom Tov. It's something which is also for him to do on Shabbos. So he has to ask himself the question, am I doing it litzerech hayom? If it's a tzerech hayom, okay, so then there's what to talk about. It's a tzerech hayom. But what malacha am I doing? Is this malacha something which I could have done yesterday? And had I done it yesterday, there would be nothing lost at all? Then I already can't do it. If the answer to that is no, I couldn't have done it yesterday. If I would have done it yesterday, I would have cut my peppers yesterday for the salad, it wouldn't be the same as if I would do it today. So I couldn't have done it yesterday, okay? But what malacha is it? Is it a malacha which is normally done, as we said, as a whole part of a process? It's normally done en masse. I usually do it what the Rishonim call la'otzer, like harvesting, where I put it into a huge warehouse. I don't do it time every time on its own. Or is it a malacha which is done every time on its own? Both those questions, the answer to both of those questions has to be positive, has to be that I couldn't have done it yesterday, and it's something which I normally do as I need, not something which I do well before I need, then a person can take advantage of the heter of ochel nefesh. So these are the basic building blocks of meleches yomtiv. They're all the same as Shabbos, but because their reasoning is different, it's to keep me open and keep me that I'm able to be preoccupied with Avodas Hashem, so anything which is for day-to-day functioning, I'm allowed to do. Now we pointed out that Litzerech Yom Tov means Litzerech that Yom Tov, not tomorrow. We have a general concept in Halacha that Bein HaShmashos is a Safek. That means from Shkia till Tzeis HaKochavim, we're not exactly sure what day it is. So from Shkia until Tzeis HaKochavim, we don't know if it's Yom Tov Rishon, or we don't know if it's Yom Tov Sheni. So a person can't do malacha on one Yom Tov to prepare for something Bein HaShmashos, because maybe Bein HaShmashos is already tomorrow. And a person can't do malacha Bein HaShmashos to prepare for the next day, because maybe Bein HaShmashos is the day before. And the place can even say, a person can't do malacha Bein HaShmashos for Bein HaShmashos itself, because maybe these minutes of Bein HaShmashos are yesterday, but the time I'm doing it, the time I'm benefiting from it, it's tomorrow. So really, when it comes to Bein HaShmashos, it's very hard to be makel on malacha. A person should try to. There are certain scenarios where will be makel, but a person should try to get all the malacha he has to do, either do it after Tzeis HaKochavim or before Shkiyas HaChama. Now, if you're doing it for Yom Tov Sheni, you cannot do it on the first day. There is a principle, which I'm sure you're familiar with, called Hoyel U'Mikloi Orche. That principle says that on a Daraisa level, I never have to be concerned that I'm cooking for tomorrow. Why? Because who knows who's going to pop by my house, and I'm going to have a cake ready for them. I'm going to have a nice meal ready for them. So on a Daraisa level, there's always in the back of a person's mind, maybe I'll need it today. That's true on a Daraisa level, but Midrabanan, we don't rely on such a thing, and therefore, if a person's intent is to do the malacha for a different day, it could be the easiest malacha in the world. It could be something which I couldn't have done yesterday, and something which is always done from time to time. I have all the heterim, and it's mamish hanos aguf, I'm doing achila, but if it's not litzerich yamtif, forget it. You always have to keep in mind the reasons. If the reason is to enhance my yamtif, I can't do something which is shaloi litzerich yamtif. Any questions as of yet? Either very clear or very unclear. Beyond hope. Oh, okay, good. Thank you.
You said carrying on Yom Tov is not permissible? It's not allowed?
If there's no Eruv.
If there's no Eruv.
If there's no Eruv, yeah. Just like Shabbos. Shabbos. Yeah.
Something that could have been done yesterday. So I'm saying, you know, when it comes to cooking, you can cook in advance.
Okay, so we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Okay.
What about the children? Sometimes you use the excuse, well, my kids are going to be eating at this time. That's okay.
A person has to be honest with themselves. If the kids are going to be eating it, yeah. If it's asparagus and the kids are not going to be eating it, so then you have to... I'm sure your kids ate asparagus. But
what if the quantity is...
Oh, we'll get to that soon as well. Let's do that right now. Okay, still part of the general rules before we get to specific malachas, yeah? No, only on Yom Tov we're talking about.
Yom Tov, again,
my point is that there's an Isra of Hoytzah on Yom Tov like Shabbos. This is a common misconception. There is an Isra of Hoytzah on Yom Tov like Shabbos, right? Just because you're going to Brooklyn and it's Yom Tov doesn't mean we don't have to worry about carrying. There's an Isra of Hoytzah. We allow it with Litzarech, just like we allow cooking with Litzarech. But just for no reason, just to be walking around with things, a million things in my stroller, things of that nature, is prohibited on Yom Tov. There's an Isra of Hetzah on Yom Tov, Shaloi Litzarech. Okay, so let's talk about Riba Bishurim. Let's first talk about non-Jews. A very important halacha when it comes to the malachas of Yom Tov, which doesn't apply with the malachas of Shabbos. Very often someone will ask, are they allowed to have a non-Jew at their Shabbos Suda? And halacha is Me'ikar Adin. You're allowed to have a non-Jew at your Shabbos Suda. There's no problem whatsoever with having a non-Jew. Hashkafically, as I told the person who asked me most recently, something you have to consider. It has to be part of the conversation. After all, the Gemara, the Medrash says that Shabbos was a special matana given to Klal Yisrael. As we just mentioned a few minutes ago, Shabbos inherently is relevant to non-Jews. And still, it was given to Jews, so that makes it almost more precious to us. The Rebbeinu Shem could have shared it with the whole world, and he gave it specifically to Jews. That's what the Gemara means when he says, Matana toiva yeshli ba'oitzrei, and I'm going to give you that matana called Shabbos. The Gemara says, a person who shares Shabbos with a non-Jew, we know the non-Jew is chayiv misa. A little bit harsh. He keeps Shabbos, all of a sudden he's chayiv misa. You know what the Gemara says? It's similar to a person who, as he's walking into his yichud room after the chuppah, he says, you know, you're my best friend. Why don't you come in? Why don't you come in and join us, right? That person is chayiv misa, right? That's what we're doing to the Rebbeinu Shem. We invite someone, the Rebbeinu Shem gave us a special present just to bask in his glory, us, Klal Yisrael, and him, and we're inviting others in, so that could be something which is inappropriate. But that's on a medrash, that's an entirely hashkafic. Halakhically, there's nothing wrong with having a non-Jew at your table on Shabbos. Very often people ask, when it comes to Leil Pesach, Leil HaSeder, is there a problem? Because we know when it comes to Karban Pesach, Kol Orel Lo Yoichavo, Kol Beinecher Lo Yoichavo. There's no, unfortunately, Latzareinu Arav, we don't have Beis HaMikdash. So there's no problem from the perspective of Karban Pesach, of Kol Orel. But there's an Isser of having Yom Tov, having non-Jews at your meal on Yom Tov. A separate Isser of Chazal. Why? Because when we allow malacha on Yom Tov, it has to be, rule number one, litzarech Yom Tov. Litzarech those that are enjoying Yom Tov. Again, it's to enhance Yom Tov. It's not supposed to be litzarech someone who doesn't have a mitzvah of Yom Tov. Therefore, cooking for a non-Jew is prohibited. Now, therefore, we would say it's aser to cook for a non-Jew. That is clear. But isn't there a concept which was mentioned a moment ago of ribui bishiurim? What does it mean, ribui bishiurim? Ribui bishiurim means if I'm doing an act which is permitted, I have to cook chicken for my family. Now, there's no difference between me cooking 10 pieces of chicken and me cooking 15 pieces of chicken. I'm not doing any more malacha. I have to turn on the fire anyway. I put the pan in anyway. The question is just how many pieces of chicken I put on the pan. So that's called ribui bishiurim, and that is permitted on Yom Tov. A person wants to be marbe bishiurim on Yom Tov, so you only need 5 pieces of chicken for Yom Tov per se. You don't know exactly, but chances are people are not going to eat all 10. But since the malacha I'm doing is exactly the same, I'm not being marbe bimalacha, I'm being marbe bishiurim, therefore I'm allowed to do it on Yom Tov. Now, there's very important caveats when it comes to marbe bishiurim. Marbe bishiurim, we said already, again, we're already gone out of the realm of Litzarech Yom Tov. This is how a person has to view it. If it's Litzarech Yom Tov, it's mutter. Now this is not really Litzarech Yom Tov, because I'm cooking much more than I need Litzarech Yom Tov. So it's permitted, only assuming that you're not doing any more malacha. Once you have to do more malacha, then it's for sure aser. That you're not doing any more tircha. If a person's just putting a piece of chicken on the pan, that's fine. But a person's breading extra chicken, doing a lot more tircha for something which he doesn't really need, which is just for ribui bishiurim, that would already be prohibited. A person can't say, oh, but you know, I really only need 5 pieces. Once you articulate it, it's off limits. I really only need 5 pieces, but I'll just make the whole pack. That's also considered to be a zilzal in Yom Tov. But assuming that a person doesn't say anything, and there's no extra tircha, and a person, there's no extra malacha, so ribui bishiurim is permitted. As long as you need some of it for Yom Tov, that for that day of Yom Tov, it's okay. You could use the rest of it, the leftovers, the next day. So shouldn't that be the case by a non-Jew as well? So I'm doing the same malacha. I just put extra. I'm not doing any more malacha. The malacha I'm doing is for us. Shouldn't I be able to add things on? So why can't I invite a non-Jew to enjoy my Shabbat, put my Yom Tov suda? What's the problem? I'm cooking for my family also. I'm not doing anything special for him. Come Chazal and say, this time you're not. But once he becomes part of your Yom Tov family, you invite him every Yom Tov, so then you know already his favorite dish is this pie, and he loves this kugel. So next Yom Tov, what's going to happen? Your family, they're not interested in the kugel. It wasn't a big hit amongst the Jews. But the Goyim, they love that kugel. So I'm going to make that kugel for the non-Jews. Then Chazal said, it's an usher across the board. You can't invite non-Jews. This applies to irreligious Jews as well that aren't considered Tinei Shenishba, which is a very hard category. Each question, each scenario needs a She'elas Chacham. But there is such a thing as an irreligious Jew who knows better. Usually we assume this man is that they don't know better. Even if a person went to yeshiva, who knows how much really went in and what he was exposed to that turned him off. So very often he doesn't know better. But there is such a thing as an irreligious Jew that this Isser applies to as well, and therefore you wouldn't be able to cook for them on Yom Tov, and therefore you wouldn't even be able to invite them to your meal on Yom Tov. So that's the Isser of inviting Nafi, even if you're not cooking anything extra, you're not doing Ribui Bishiurim. Having them at the table could be an Isser on Yom Tov and Isser Derabbanan.
This happened to us, so it's a very pertinent question. What happens if somebody is in the process of converting religiously, you know they're going to keep all the halachas, and you want to be makara them to show them how beautiful Yom Tov is? What do you do?
So it's a very complicated shayla that the place can grapple with. Yeah. If it can be done on Shabbos, to show them the beauty of Shabbos, and that will be the same as showing them the beauty of Yom Tov, it's definitely preferred on Shabbos.
If she wasn't around,
so there is what to be saimechan. To literally go ahead and invite them is very questionable, but let's say their spouse is Jewish, so you can invite your spouse, and understanding that they'll come along. To go ahead and call them up and invite them, some place can still make it, would require every situation a she'elas chacham.
I just don't understand what Yom Tov. I understand like a table of Shkendish are with like Nayanesach and some of the other stringencies, but Yom Tov, the whole point of it is to bring closeness to Klal Yisrael, closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even if someone was turned off at some point, if this could potentially bring them closer to more Yidden and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why would there be any...
We probably, in that scenario, would tell you to invite them.
If
it's an Yidden Shenishba, for sure you invite them.
If it's not a Tinei Shenishba, if someone who did the other one off...
It needs a She'elas Chacham, but it probably would be... permitted. What Chazal were referring to were people that were were adamantly anti-religious, people that were, so that's a different, it's a different case. So it has to be understood, but we still have to... Yeah, exactly. So again, every case is different, but it has to be understood in that light.
Let's say you're not doing any cooking on Yom Kippur for them.
Doesn't make a difference.
You made all your food before and they're coming the first night.
Doesn't make a difference. They made a separate Isser Derabanan to have non-Jews at your table. Now, this Isser Derabanan Baruch Hashem does not apply to employees, people that work for you. Because you're allowed to feed your people that are working for you, even if they're not Jewish. The assumption of Chazal is that if they're working for you, you're not going to do anything special for them to impress them. They'll always just get what the family gets. They're not going to be any more chashuv than the family. If I'm cooking for the family, I'll just do revishurim. There's no problem of being concerned that I'm going to make something special for them. Therefore, there's no isser inviting them. But a person has to have in mind, the person does have a non-Jewish housekeeper that they are very close with, and they know that they specifically like this dish. It is also to make something specifically for a non-Jew on Yom Tov. What about behemoths, feeding your animals, feeding your pets on Yom Tov? So this also, some pets are very beloved, but they don't keep Yom Tov, and therefore it's an isser of cooking, or an isser of doing malacha for an animal would be prohibited. There is an heter if the animal depends on you for the food. So then in certain scenarios, you are allowed to feed the animal. But on Yom Tov, there's a special isser that you can't put the food right in front of the animal. Why? Because we're nervous that you're going to end up trapping the animal. Right? Once you get him to the trough, so once you get him to the food, so the next step is to trap him. It's also to trap on Yom Tov, therefore a person has to be careful about that. But in terms of feeding, as long as the animal is dependent on you for the food, so that would be permitted. Good? Okay. So I believe we've covered the basic building blocks of Melechus Yom Tov. Now let's try to go through the different melechas and try to understand what would be permitted based on these building blocks and what would be prohibited. So when it comes to the malacha, let's start with, I'm going to take the ones which are discussed mostly by the Paiskim. We understand that something like Kitzira is done on mass is not going to be things which are normally done in the field, which we really, in our very industrialized society, we don't really have much connection to, so many of those are going to be aser. What about something like Schita? We know Schita is aser on Shabbos, so I want to squeeze my lemon into the tea on Shabbos is absolutely prohibited. You could squeeze your lemon into food, but you can't squeeze your lemon into a liquid on Shabbos. Am I allowed to do that on Yom Tov? So here the place can say that since Schita is something which is a tolda of dash, of threshing, and dash was normally done li yamin, it was something which was done again, I wouldn't do dash every time I needed some bread, I wouldn't go out and start threshing the kernels, right? I would do it on mass, I would do it as part of the production. So therefore, schita is prohibited when it comes to anything that is also because of dash or schita is prohibited on Yom Tov, similar to the way that it is prohibited on Shabbos. What about beirer? Is there an isser of beirer on Yom Tov? Now, beirer is something very tricky. Why? Because beirer is done at many different stages along the way, many different parts of this large process called Sidura de Pas that we aser on Shabbos, all the way from the Harisha all the way down to the Oife, right? So a lot of Beirer is included in a lot of those stages. Now sometimes Beirer is very early on in the stage, nothing that you'll consider doing on a day-to-day basis, and therefore it would certainly be prohibited. But there are certain types of Beirer which are done very much in front, right in front of me. I sit in front of I'm eating a piece of fish and I would need to take out the bones. Eating a piece of melon, I need to take. So that type of beirer is done very, very often on a time for time basis. So what's the halacha when it comes to beirer? So the Paiskim in fact say it depends what type of beirer you're doing. The question one must ask themselves is this something which I normally do well in advance, which is normally done well in advance, but I didn't have time to do it or whatever, so I didn't do it, then it's also to do on Yom Tov. If this is something which is done usually when the fish is right in front of me, or the piece of melon is right in front of me, so then that type of beirer would be permitted. However, you have to make sure, even though it's permitted because of oichal nefesh, there's still another rule we have to. So it's a type of malacha that we could permit, because it's not done on mass. But there's something else we have to take into account. Let's say I could have done it yesterday, So then it's also anyway. Again, remember, we always have to ask ourselves the two questions. Could I have done it yesterday? If I could have done it yesterday at no loss at all, so then I have to do it yesterday and I can't do it today. Therefore, a person wants to sort out his cutlery to set the table. So for sure, it has to be for a meal that day. You can't do it for tomorrow's meal. But the second day of Yom Tov, you couldn't have sorted it out because you had to use it and wash the dishes, and now it's ready to be sorted. So therefore, it's something which I do every time before I set the table, and it's something which I could not have done yesterday. Again, the first day of Yom Tov, you probably could have done it yesterday. But the second day of Yom Tov, you already used it and washed it, and now it got all mixed together. So therefore, it's something which couldn't have been done yesterday. It's something which I always do prior, immediately prior to my need, and therefore, it is permitted. But this is only with Bayer, which is done immediately prior to the need. The Paiskim do say, when it comes to Bayer, and this is very important to understand, the Paiskim do say when it comes to Bayer on Yom Tov, because there are certain types of Bayer which are permitted, and there are certain types of Bayer which are Aser, the rule the Paiskim give, very easy rule to remember. If you want to do Bayer on Yom Tov, if it's permitted, you have to do it in the easiest way possible. So we know on Shabbos, we're busy with figuring out Ochel mitoch psolos, psolos mitoch Ochel. It has to be miyad, I can't use it with any strainer. When it comes to Yom Tov, you do it in the simplest way possible, the least tircha possible. That's the way a person does Bayer on Yom Tov. Again, all assuming that you couldn't have done it the day before. It's important to point out one other rule, which we forgot in the building blocks, and that is, when we say that it is usher to do a melacha because you could have done it earlier, so the place can say that's true, it's usher to do, but we still give you a special dispensation, since the melacha inherently is mutter. The only reason we're going to usher is because you should have done it yesterday, you could do it today with a shinu. So very often on Yom Tov, you'll ask yourself the question, is this something I do immediately before I use it? Yes. Could I have done it yesterday? Yeah, I could have done it yesterday. I could have cooked this yesterday. There's no difference between me cooking this yesterday and cooking today. Sometimes the freshness makes a difference, so then I could cook today. There's no difference between me cooking this yesterday and cooking today. Absolutely the same. No one will know the difference. So I'm not allowed to cook it yesterday. I'm not allowed to cook it today. I could have done it yesterday. In that scenario, we allow you to cook still, but you have to cook with the shinui. That means if you normally put the food into the pot and then put it on the fire, this time you put it on the fire, then you put the food in the pot. Always should be done with a shinui if it was something that could have been done the day before. So that's when it comes to Bayer. Person has to remember to do it, that he's allowed to do it in the easiest way possible, assuming he couldn't have done it the day before. If he could have done it the day before, then he's still allowed to do it with a shinui.
Can you use a strainer then, because it's easier, because it's a kli for
Bayer? One is allowed to use a kli for Bayer when it comes to Yom Tov, but it can't be a kli which is normally done for the type of Bayer which is done on Mes. So if it's normally done, the type of Bayer which is done in the kitchen right before I use it, then you're allowed to do it. But if this kli is normally used for something which I'm not allowed to do, I'm not going to use it today for something that I'm allowed to do, so then you can't use that kli. But a normal kli which is used for Bayer, if it's a scenario where you're allowed to do Bayer, so you're allowed to use the kli as well. So many hold that a peeler is a kli miyuchad for Bayer. It's a big discussion when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos. But when it comes to Yom Tov, I couldn't have peeled the vegetables yesterday. They'll get... I don't know what they'll get, but the Sfarim say they'll get something. So there's something about that, right? So you couldn't peel them yesterday, and I normally peel right before, so I'm allowed to do it with a peeler. There's no problem whatsoever. I have to do it in the easiest way possible, right? It would be probably less satisfactory if I took a knife. That's harder. You have to do the butter in the easiest way possible.
Can you use time as an excuse for a reason why you couldn't have done it the day before? Like, let's say...
Very good question. Mishnah Brura says that, yes, a person running out of time, he simply didn't have enough time, that is a good reason, and that means that you could not have done it yesterday. But if a person could have done it yesterday, he's just not interested, because yesterday he'd rather do other things. And I'll push it off to today, so that's when a person... But a person simply, he would love to do it yesterday, just simply ran out of time, that's a good enough reason to say that it was EF Shalah Sosa Midvodyo. I couldn't have done it the day before, and therefore I'm allowed to do it today without a shame.
What about forgetting? You just simply forgot.
That also.
Taste of something fresh, better, that's a reason enough that you couldn't have done it yesterday.
100%. When it comes to Ribla Vishirim as well, when it comes to doing more than I have to do, if it purrs very often, again, this is old hearsay, I don't know if this is true, if I cook a lot at the same time, it tastes better. So therefore, in fact, in those type of things, at least the Gemara says that a baker would never like to bake one loaf of bread. He liked to bake a whole thing of bread because the bread itself would taste better. So in that case, the scenario as well, I'm allowed to bake a whole thing because I'm not doing it for every other piece of bread. I'm doing it for this piece of bread. I want to enjoy a Yom Tov and I want it to be the highest quality. So that's it. We've done the Isser of Schita applies regularly. Beirer, we do in the easiest way over Yom Tov. What about Tochen? Tochen also a very tricky one. Sometimes Tochen is done in the production process. Sometimes Tochen is done on my plate. So again, we have to know the regular Yisurim of Tochen, how they apply on Shabbos to begin with. That's a separate issue with regard. That's a separate discussion with regards to Tochen on Shabbos. But assuming that we're talking about a Tochen, which is Aser on Shabbos, is that Tochen Aser on Yom Tov as well? So over here as well, the Mefarsh, the Paiskin, Paskin, that if it's something which could not have been done the day before, if I cut up my little vegetables, they're also going to get, it's not going to be as fresh, so then I do not have to do it. It's normally done, it's the type of Tochen which is normally done right before I make the salad. And it's something which I couldn't have done the day before. Again, it doesn't mean I couldn't have. I could have, but it wouldn't have tasted as good. It would have compromised the product if I would have done it the day before. So therefore, I'm allowed to do it on Yom Tov. Even if, say, the Paiskim, my cutting it the day before would have taken away from the potency of the food. It wouldn't have tasted as sharp. I wouldn't have had the full flavor of the food because I cut it already 24 hours before. So don't cut it 24 hours before. Don't compromise on the onig of Yom Tov, on enjoying Yom Tov because of this. It's mutter to do on Yom Tov per se. There is one exception to that, and this is important, this comes up. I've seen this a number of times on Yom Tov. What about they have these pepper grinders where there's pepper and right, you want to have fresh pepper. So you would argue based on the rules, I couldn't have done it yesterday, and that's the whole thing is on my kitchen table. I do it every time I eat. So based on the rules, this is something which should be absolutely mutter on Yom Tov. However, the Ramah comes and he says tavlin are aser. The Acharim don't know why. Why is it aser to grind tavlin on Yom Tov? And they struggle trying to figure out based on the rules. It should be permitted. Their basic approach in the Achronim is that you're right, it becomes a little bit weaker, but that's for a real mufunak. That's for someone who really can tell these things. Most people, you can't really tell the difference between pepper which was ground yesterday and pepper ground today. And therefore, when it comes to grinding tavlin, it's an exception. And we would say that a person, if he's going to do it on Yom Tov, since it could have been done the day before, he should do it with a shinui. Tavlin, yeah, except for salt. Salt is aser because it doesn't make a difference at all. Salt, you really, meaning doesn't tavlin, it should be mutter because there is a difference between yesterday and today. Salt, the place can say, whatever, I don't know what they did to the salt,
tavlin
but
means spices.
Spices, yeah.
So sea salt doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't, what do you mean, to do what to it? To grind it, yeah. Yeah, that would be a problem.
So like mashing avocados?
100%, 100% good, yeah. Good? Okay.
Wait, so the grinder is you can do the shino or you can't use it?
With the shino, you're allowed to. With the shino, you're allowed to.
And it's salt with the shino, so
yeah,
you can't.
Yeah, so salt.
And what if it's a mixture? A lot of times you have like salt with other spices.
And you're grinding them together. What's the majority?
The salt's not a majority because there are many,
many other spices. I don't know. I have to look it up. I'm not sure.
Well, how does shinoi because of all the grinding situation?
Left hand. Yeah, maybe a left hand would, I don't know, do with your mouth. Do it. I don't know. Be creative. I don't know.
So I always learned that if you have to
do it, you do it with the other hand. Yeah, what?
So I always learned that if you have to use like a grater, like yeah, carrots or peas, you do it on a paper plate, which would be a different way than normally.
Than normally, okay. That's also
so
good shinui.
You'd be able to like grind something onto a paper plate.
And then put it, probably consider shinui also. Okay, yeah. So a better one than your mouth, apparently. Okay. Okay, lush. Lush. Is lush allowed to be done on Yom Tov? The answer is yes. I can't. If you bake challah, apparently doing it the day before, it's not going to be the same. And therefore, lisha is something which is permitted on Yom Tov. So baking the baby cereals, anything that a person does lisha for, we would permit basically with the same rules as we had before. Lush is permitted, so long as it's something which wouldn't be compromised if I which would be compromised if I did it the day before. From what I understand, that lush usually would be compromised if done the day before, therefore it's mut. Should we start Bishul? Let's start Bishul. We'll pick up with this in Mirtz Hashem in 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Okay? Bishul. So am I allowed to cook on Yom Tov? Of course, right? That's what we do. In Yom Tov, let her cook. But again, remembering the rules. You have to remember the rules. Bishul only could be done in a way on something which I could not have done it before Yom Tov. Therefore, if I could have done it before Yom Tov, and it wouldn't have compromised it at all, person would not be able to tell the difference between freshness whatsoever if I would have done it before Yom Tov, then a person should not cook on Yom Tov, except if he does it with the Shinoi. And there the place can say what the Shinoi is. Usually it's that you switch the order around of something. So you usually put the stuff in the pot, then you put it on the oven, so you do it in the opposite way. And in those scenarios, so Bishul will be okay. Remember, Riba Bishurim, I don't have to measure out exactly how much I need. As long as I need some of it, I'm allowed to add on, as long as I'm not doing any extra tircha for those extra pieces. Like 5 people in my family, and I know maximum we're going to be eating 7 pieces of chicken, so I'm allowed to put 10 pieces of chicken in the oven. But I'm not allowed to, as I mentioned before, I'm not allowed to go ahead and bread 10 pieces of chicken, because that is extra tircha. Except if it's going to enhance the food. If putting 3 pieces of chicken into the chicken soup will make the soup tastier, even though I don't need those 3 chickens to eat them, since it will enhance the food, that's also considered to be the tzarech oichel nefesh.
But can't you say to yourself, I may invite guests from shul to come to me, and therefore I want to make extra? Isn't that another...
If that's a realistic thing.
Yeah. Like always, I mean...
No. So the Paiskim say that on a deraisa level, a person could use such a theoretical excuse. But if it's not realistic, so then on a derabana level, we don't allow you to use that. So on a deraisa level, you're correct. As long as it's possible, so I'm allowed to do it. On a derabana level, they say you can't use such a dispensation unless it's really realistic. I always go home and come home with a few people, so I have to know... So I don't know exactly, so then a person would be able to do it, because at the end of the day, then you're legitimately doing it for Yom Tov, for today. I'm not doing it for the day after. Okay, so we'll stop here. I'm giving another shiur at 9 o'clock. We neither will pick up next time with Yom Tov. Yeah? Sorry, yeah? Why not? Butter in the easiest way. You'll do it in the easiest way. Now, if you could have done...
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.